The following program is part of the Inner Circle Podcasting Group. Go to innercirclecomics.com for more high-quality podcasts.
Answer my question! The question, jerk!
Hey, listen, nerds. It's time for another Two-Headed Nerd Answer of the Week podcast with Joe and Matt.
Recording live from downtown beautiful Milwaukee. My name is Matt Baum. I'm one of the hosts of the Two-Headed Nerd comic book podcast, and this is the answer of the week. I'd like to say he's sitting across from me, but he's not
yes,
in my hotel.
Yes, I am
room.
Also in Milwaukee.
No, he is not. He's at home. Joe Patrick, don't lie to the people. Sitting comfortably in Omaha, Nebraska is the other host of the show. His name is Joe Patrick, folks. Say hello, Joey.
Hey, I already had banter. I don't have to greet them also.
All right, fair enough. We're playing the answer of the week, and here's how it works. Every week, Joe Patrick asks the question of the week on the THN forums. From there, you can go to the forums, you can respond all you want there, or you can call us at 402-819-4894, or you can send us an MP3 of your answer to twoheadednerd@gmail.com. All we ask is that you keep it under 2 minutes. It's not that much to ask, you guys. It really isn't.
All we ask is that you do not have 2 minutes worth of content, that you end your call when it is appropriate.
That is true. Think it out. Figure it out. Before we get started here, though.
Unlike our first caller, D.
We'll get there. First, Joe Patrick, I need you to reset the question.
This question came from Wooly Toots, who wants to ask the comic collectors in the audience how you care for and maintain your collection, or do you even bother?
This is great because we don't do a lot of collecting stuff. This is fun.
No, we don't.
Let's get right into it. Let's go to D. What you got for us, D?
How's it going, guys? D here, answering your question of the week. All about collecting this time. I've been collecting comics since, 94? 92 when Superman died? A long freaking time. I only have 4 long boxes to count for it. I read what I want. I collect what I want. When it comes to toys and action figures, they just hang out willy-nilly. Like, if they want to hang outside the box, they hang outside the box. Not that I talk to my toys, mind you, because that would be psychotic. But yeah, that's how I collect my toys. I don't know where I went with that. That was odd. Boards, bags, and long boxes. I can't stand short boxes. I feel like I'm going to trip over them because I'm going to have them out all the time, reading comic books, taking them in and out over and over again. But lately, I haven't been collecting at all. Just the new 52 stuff hasn't been doing it for me. And the Marvel Now, if Battle World doesn't end anytime soon, which I think it is, and if what's going to happen is going to happen, and I think it's going to happen with the whole Marvel franchise comic book world, I may be done with Marvel and DC altogether and welcome Valiant into my life. And if I get Valiant, I'm going to get a nice long box just with Valiant comics. Hopefully it won't be that long to fill up because I love me some continuity. I love it. I love me some continuity. But that's it, man. That's how I collect myself, long boxes. I got them all labeled Marvel, DC, Image, Miscellaneous. Take it easy.
So D goes by company. That's how he's sorting it.
Sure.
And his action figures, whatever. They're just in a big box. And he talks
whatever
to
the
him.
Action figures decide.
And that freaking weirdo talks to him.
Yeah. He hates short boxes. That's
I don't
crazy.
Know. Yeah, I don't get that at all. I love short boxes. Long boxes.
I prefer them.
Yeah, long boxes are scary, man. They're heavy. They're big. You trip over them. They're hard to store.
I mean, like, impossible to move.
It's one thing if it's in a shop because you're like, all right, we got to hold the most amount possible in here. But remember how, like, after a while, long boxes would get all weak and stuff would dump out of them. And like,
oh, yeah.
God, they were terrible.
Yep.
I don't know, D. You got to rethink that long box thing. You absolutely should bring Valiant into your life. You absolutely should. And if you're going to call your shot on something you think is going wrong in the Marvel Now or Marvel U or whatever, call your shot, man. They'll be like, if what I think is happening, because then you can't be wrong. You're like, come on.
He's saying if Marvel completely reboots their continuity.
They're not going to. That's not what they're
he's
doing.
He's out. They're definitely doing. Not going to. They've come out and said as much.
Yeah. Things are going to be different, but still recognizable.
Right, but I mean, most of the stories are just carrying on from where they were before Secret Wars even started, so.
Yeah, so no big deal. Relax, D. It's going to be okay, man. You're angry. I get that. We all are. Thank you for your call, sir, but now it's time to go to Anthony from Brooklyn.
Sup, nerds? Anthony from Brooklyn here, and I've kind of run the gamut of comic book collecting. I'm all digital right now, but I've been reading comic books for almost 40 years. And though I am Anthony from Brooklyn, I didn't always live in Brooklyn. My dad was in the military, so moved around a lot. I was all over the country and even lived out of country for a bit.
Scandal.
So I was at the mercy of spinner racks. And when that was the case, I just piled them up on bookshelves. That was it, haphazardly. And then in high school, I was at a comic shop. And I got real serious about it. Everything was in long boxes, bagged and boarded, in alphabetical order and numerical order. And then when I had about like 20-ish long boxes, and I had my first apartment, I got filing cabinets, big filing cabinets, and I put everything in alphabetical order, numerical order, or chronological order. Like if there was an errant miniseries or one shot, I would throw that in where it made the most sense to enjoy the full experience. And then when I got married for the second time, my wife was like, hey, these little floppy comic things are kind of ugly. And I was like, hey, you're kind of right. I know that's blasphemy, but, you know, trade paperbacks look super nice and elegant on a bookshelf. So I went full trade. And when that was the case, big bookshelves full of trade paperbacks. I would separate them by comic book company. And within the comic book company, everything was in alphabetical order and then, you know, numerical order. And now I'm digital. And there you go. Man, that's everything. All right. Thanks. Bye.
Okay, so in a nutshell.
Hold on.
We have a scandal.
Anthony, which is the bigger scandal? That Anthony from Brooklyn is not actually from Brooklyn, or that Anthony from Brooklyn is a divorcee?
I don't think a divorcee is that big of a deal. I mean, like, I get it. Whatever, you know. Speaking as a guy that's on his way to divorce, I totally get it, right?
Oh, get it. You are not.
I just do stuff like this to see if she listens. So.
She doesn't.
I know. And it tickles me pink. Regardless, I think the bigger scandal is that Anthony was not always from Brooklyn. I think that's way huge. So now we have to call him Anthony currently from Brooklyn. So Anthony
residing in Brooklyn.
Anthony currently from Brooklyn started off with a bunch of comics, moved to all trade paperbacks, and has evolved to all digital. Let me ask you this, Joe Patrick, in your opinion, if you are buying digital comics, are you collecting?
No.
I don't think so either. I don't see it as collecting. Like, you're just reading, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that's a debate. You are not amassing a collection of material goods.
But what if someone is, like, filing them? Let's say, like, you have a digital collection. It's filed by company. It's filed by, you know, alphabet in there, whatever.
It's not, though, because you do not own any of those items.
No, but I mean, like, let's say you're backing it all up.
The second Comixology goes away, your collection is dust. Well, it's digital Comixology. Dust.
Maybe you're doing it with PDFs. Maybe you're doing it with CBR files.
Like, you mean maybe you're stealing them from the internet?
Not necessarily. You can own those CBR files on your computer. Are you collecting? Like, you've got them all on a backup drive. Are you collecting?
I don't know. I guess maybe.
It's a weird question. I
would say probably not.
I ask because I don't know.
I mean, I'm saying if you are accumulating digital files, that's not a collection.
Okay. And maybe it's a different discussion. And I'm not sure. That's why I asked you.
To me, comic book collecting is, I bought a comic book, I filed it away, I'm going to keep it forever or until I decide to sell it or pass it down or whatever.
That's where I'm at. I'm an old guy. We're used to holding floppies, taking them into the bathroom with us to read, you know? I mean, come on.
But
then you bag and board it.
But yeah, right. That said, people that are buying digitally are spending full price on comics. So who are we to say?
Yeah. And they may be amassing whole files of this stuff, you know, putting together runs.
I think by definition, collecting means you are seeking out the actual artifact.
I think so, too. I'm with you. But I think there's others that might disagree. Let's go to Randy Andrews and see what he says.
Greetings, Joe and Matt. This is Randy Andrews emailing in for the question of the week. This week, you asked about print comics and how do we store, file, and preserve our collections. Well, guys, the alphabet has always worked very well for me. I organize by title alphabetically. Next, I always put my print comics in a long box when I'm done reading them. Finally, I preserve them by bagging and boarding my comics. Every comic collector should bag and board their comics. Why? It preserves them for several years to come. You can pull them out at any time and still know that they are in mint condition. Well, that's it this week, guys. Hope you liked it. Check out my soundtrack blog at soundtrackalley.net, and my music this week is from Guardians of the Galaxy, The Collector. That's it this week, guys, and see you in a week. Bye for now.
You know what I appreciate about Randy? He always thinks about his soundtrack. That was good.
Did you just say appreciate?
Yeah, appreciate.
Okay. Yeah. All right, I'm just checking.
Not everybody appreciates the Breeves. You know what I'm saying?
So Randy's a traditionalist. Bags, boards, alphabet.
That's good. I would be careful with the term mint, Randy. I'll tell you one thing comic collectors and comic shop owners hate. It's the term mint. Because in my opinion, nobody has a mint comic book. You have near mint. That's as close as it gets.
That's semantics.
It's not just semantics. You ever seen anything in perfect condition? Be honest. Perfect.
No.
Exactly.
Well, Big Mike's collection.
No, that was Big Mike mint. That's different.
Yeah, Big Mike mint is better than near mint. It's as close as you're going to get to perfect in the real world.
I obliged him that because I loved him so much, but I don't know it exists.
I've seen the books, man. I'm going to say this.
This is an argument for a different question. Like,
I bet 99% of the comics in Big Mike's collection were 9.8 or better.
Okay. Still not mint. Still not 10.
Well, 10 is like...
Doesn't exist. There's no perfect. I go for this like...
I mean, they do exist, but they are flukes.
I go for the Zen Buddhist definition of perfection where like you cannot achieve it. It does not exist, but we should always strive for it. You know what
actually,
I mean?
Actually, 10.0 is technically called gem mint.
That's true. And
those are books that probably didn't even make it to the stands.
Yeah, very rare. Let's go to Gregory Litchfield. We haven't heard from this guy for a while. I was worried. He's an old timer. I thought maybe we lost him.
He ain't that old.
Nerds, this is the official THN old timer, Greg Litchfield. It's been a while since I've MP3'd you guys with an answer to the question of the week. But this question was right up the old timer's alley. I've been buying comics and collecting comics since 1971. So you can imagine I've got quite a stash. Probably got about 8,000 comics at this point, and I've sold off probably hundreds over the years. I can't remember the first time that I bought long boxes. It's been that long, but probably from the first comic book shop that I ever went to, which was Million Year Picnic in Cambridge, which I started going to when I went to college in 1978. I started bagging them when I realized that some of the comics I had in there were probably worth some cash. 20 years went by, and those original long boxes that I bought were now no longer nice, pristine white cardboard, but sort of brownish, and in some cases yellowish, and not very attractive, and falling apart. I had every intention of buying brand new long boxes and reboxing all my comics, but of course that didn't happen. Flash forward 17 years, and I've got comic books stacked up in piles in regular old cardboard boxes and stashed on top of my old comic book boxes, which were even in worse condition. Well, finally I had to do something. Last year I bought brand new long boxes and reboxed all my comic books. And all the comics that I hadn't bagged, I began to bag, which I'm still in the process of doing a year later. I'm also putting boards in the more valuable comics. That's my answer. I'm the traditionalist. Long boxes, bags, and occasionally boards. This is the THN old timer saying, enough said.
So,
you put your comics in bags without boards?
Yeah, that's insane, right? That took me back. Who does that? I mean, really? I don't know. Maybe, you know what this is? This is two guys that worked at a comic book store for a long time.
This is our snobbery showing.
Yes, we've been brainwashed. And we're like, as far as we're concerned, if you're going to bag it, there's no reason not to board it, you maniac.
You might as well light it on fire.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, flush it down the toilet at that point.
Greg.
Oh, Greg.
Welcome back, buddy.
It's good to hear from you. Very good to hear from you. Miss you, buddy. But, I mean, I guess, I don't know. I can see, like, you have a bunch of stuff that's never going to be worth crap, and you're doing it a favor by protecting it as it is. Fine. I will say this. As a guy that worked in comic shop and people brought stuff in to sell it, it's just bagged. We would look at each other and go, oh, boy, here we go. You know, here comes a bunch of crap.
There's a quote that I can attribute to thousands of different people, all from different walks of life that don't know each other. The only thing that links them together is that they found some comics and they don't know anything about them. And what they inevitably say when they call or come in, quote, they're still in the plastics.
They're in perfect condition.
As though that's their default state.
They're totally mint. They're in perfect condition.
Like, I'm sorry, sir. These plastic bags are yellow.
Yeah.
And they're taped shut with masking tape.
And a cat peed into some of them.
Right. I'm sorry your copy of Walt Disney's Comics and Stories number 487 isn't worth $1,000.
Your Classics Illustrated Zorro is actually right, not is in like, mint condition, sir.
And also the 37th printing right. of Zorro. Right. But you know what? I know Greg knows his stuff more than that. He's just making a questionable life choice without using boards.
You got to board that crap, homie. That's all I'm saying, Greg. I understand you're an old timer.
You know what?
And old timers don't like this.
He's been in the game longer than us. What do we know?
It's true. That's true. To all there's their own. I'm saying you got to board that crap. Let's go to Tim Benson. See how he takes care of his Daredevil comics.
So I wasn't sure if I should call or not. Last night, Matt got pulled off stage and they carried him away. And I don't know where he went. I don't know what happened to him. So I'm not sure if there's going to be a two-headed nerd anymore. Maybe it'll just be a one head.
Terrible news, Tim. I lived.
But I thought if Matt is still out there, he'd want me to call, so I'm going to call. So collecting comics, I've got it pretty easy. I just buy them, and I've got an app. It's a CLZ Comics app, and I put it in there so I know I bought it. And I'm not real great at that, but I try. And then when the story ends, I take them to work, and I bind them into a hardcover book, and then I put it on the shelf. And then I've got a bookshelf with words on the spine that tell me what's in it. And yeah, so that's my job, but that's what I do. I bind them into hardcover books, and then I can just read them. And I mutilate them and destroy them, and they're no longer valuable, and they're not in bags and boards, and I'll never be able to resell them. And I'm okay with all of those things because I can just read them and I enjoy them.
So Tim binds his stuff.
Wow.
It seems at first I like, it made my hackles stand up, if you will. But I don't know. There's something kind of beautiful about that. He loves it. He doesn't care that it's not going to ever go for anything. You won't be able to sell it on eBay and it's his and he can store it this way. I think that's kind of beautiful.
Yeah. He's preserved it in his own way. Maybe preserved is the wrong word. Like he's archived them.
Yeah, it's more archiving. We'll say
he's
that.
Turned them into archival editions, which I think is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yes, it means you've ruined your collection as far as collectability goes. But
let's put ruined in quotes.
Yeah, I mean you have destroyed those comic books, but you've created.
Let's put destroyed in quotes. I'm trying to steer you away from that, but you're right.
It's true. He takes the comic as we know it and literally destroys it.
Yeah, no, you're not wrong. He used the word mutilated.
I don't mean that in a bad way. I'm just saying it's like you melt it down to its component parts and you reforge it into something that you like better.
Yeah, I think there's something really cool about that.
I do too.
And at first it bothered me, but then by the end of the call, I was like, you know what? Good for you. If you love it and that's good enough for you and you want to revisit it that way, that is your collection.
If you guys are into the idea of custom bookbinding, like if you have collections of old stuff that you just want to like get converted into like a bookshelf worthy edition, you should hit up Tim on Twitter.
Yeah.
He works for Houchin Bindery.
Yeah, they're good people. I know the guy that owns it. Super nice guy.
And they make amazing books, and a lot of pros in the comic industry use them. And Tim has made a lot of books for people that you have heard of in the comic industry that just wanted to like archive stuff that they love.
Yeah, stuff that's just not collected. And it's cool. It's very cool. We'll put that in the notes for this show. Definitely. So check that out. Right now, it's Toots time.
The digital clock up here on the microwave says it's Toots time. And here we go. You know, talking about how people handle their collection is like one of my favorite things. I almost enjoy talking about that more than talking about actual comics, because there's not a whole lot of like anger about it. You know what I mean? Like, people get angry about comics and they bitch about comics. You don't ever hear that when it comes to the collection. Getting to go into people's comic book collection rooms, like where they hold their collection, where they house it, that again is a huge thrill for me. I love to see what people do, how they organize it. Myself, I have limited myself to 25 long boxes. That's way more than I wanted to go to, but that's where it's at right now. I'm set to purge it anytime soon. They're alphabetical, and it's alphabetical by indicia. So Amazing Spider-Man is in the A's. It's not with Spider-Man from the McFarlane years. They're separate. I don't do it by character. I do have some separate long boxes that are like, this is all Westerns, this is all Conan the Barbarian, things like that. I bag and board everything. I don't tape the bag and boards until I've read the book. Then I tape it up and I put it away. That's pretty much it in a nutshell. Although, if you're so inclined, go on to the Two-Headed Nerd website. And if you look into Long Box Behind, which is a semi-regular piece that I write for Two-Headed Nerd, I went into great detail on how I handle my collection from start to finish. So go there and get more information. Later, dudes.
Plug in the forums. Gotta love that guy. I like his style, too, because I do something similar, and I'll go into it when we talk about how we collect. But I like what he's talking about, where I maintain X amount of boxes and then purge after that, where I go, what do I need? What do I not need? That's pretty cool.
I mean, setting a self-imposed limit kind of lets you keep things under control.
But I like what he's saying. I think it's and he is saying that also kind of controversial. He goes alphabetical. So Amazing Spider-Man, not necessarily with Spider-Man, it's under A.
Well, I don't think that's controversial. I just think that's a practical choice.
There's a lot of argument there. Like, all my Spider-Man stuff is under Spider-Man. And it starts with, here's a Spider-Man section. It starts with Amazing Spider-Man, you know?
Sure, but I think that that's born out of like a retailer's concern.
That's absolutely it. It comes from working at the comic shop, where if you're looking for Batman, it's all under Batman. You're looking for Superman, it's all under Superman. X-Men, X. That's where you go. You know, you're not going to go to the A section for all new X-Men, you know?
But that is definitely not alphabetical order.
No, it's not. It's by character, I admit. And we'll get to where we're at, but I find it hard not to do that. Right now, let's see what Jonathan Luttrell has to say about this. I think that guy only collects filth, personally.
I totally agree.
Would not surprise me.
Hey, Joe. Hey, other guy that's most probably Matt, but I'm kind of crossing my fingers it's someone else like Wooly Toots. So how did I organize comics? I generally did it in the very traditional way of comic boxes, boards, bags, and then I follow a similar method that comic shops did, where you group some, you know, major series together, but I didn't necessarily do them alphabetically. Like, there might be three or four boxes of X-Men, and all the Uncanny would be together, all the Extreme would be together, all the Generation X would be together, and then there'd be a section for, you know, miniseries and one-offs and things like that. And I do that with all the major series, and then the littler ones might have just went by company, you know, if there was only if it was a mini or a single. But yeah, that's generally how I grouped them. You know, I've kind of moved away from collecting the singles, and I've moved more towards hardcovers and trades, and most of those are kind of alphabetical on my shelves and whatnot. But I do group certain things together, especially if like the sizes are crazy big, like the large omnibuses are generally together. But I've also moved to where I got rid of a lot of my singles collection, and the ones that I did keep, I have kept some singles. Some of them I did glue bind into things similar to a trade paperback. They don't look, you know, spectacularly great, but they hold really well, and they're going to be very durable and hold up to reading and whatnot. So I was really happy with how those turned out. Some of those that I am keeping in singles, I mean, they're going to have professionally bound, or I'm going to learn how to do a more traditional stitch binding along with a little bit of a glue binding, kind of give this nice mix, see if I can do it myself. Who knows? Hey, this was a great question. Look forward to a lot of people's answers. I wish I had a little more time and room to kind of get into some of the ways that my buddies organize and sort their movie collections, because they are bonkers. But I don't. And I might go to the forums, but why lie about it? I'm not going to.
Go to the forums, you jerk. Come on. We would love to read about this stuff.
At least he's honest about it.
John is saying that he is learning to bind his own stuff. That is unknown territory for me.
Like, me, I don't too.
Where do you start? I'm sure there's a YouTube video you can watch or something, but wow.
It's impressive. He says in an email that he forgot to mention that he spray painted and seal coated all of his long boxes because he hated the way that the boxes would get all grimy from dust and stuff.
That's crazy.
And they held up a lot longer that way. And now he's switched over to those plastic long boxes.
Oh, yeah. Those are really nice. I actually like those. They're super tough.
Like, yeah, very sturdy.
Just like those big PVC, you know, like storage boxes you get at like Lowe's or Home Depot or Target or something. But they're made for comics. They're so badass. I kind of want to switch over to those really badly. Because guess what? You get water in your basement? Not a problem.
Well, they're not watertight, but
well,
yeah.
Well, I mean, like if you get several feet of water, you're in trouble. But I'm saying if they're sitting in 2 inches, you're fine.
You're probably fine.
No, they're sealed on the bottom. They're all good. Yeah. They'll float away. Your comics will safely float away.
Yep. Go to the forums, John. Don't be a jerk.
Let's go to our boy Harv. Always good to hear from you, buddy.
Hey, nerds, in order to get this done in 2 minutes, I got to talk fast. How fast? My machine's fast. So the first thing I do is skin them and scan them. That means I take the old bags and boards and throw them away. Then they hit my scanner. I scan all the covers. They hit a folder in my hard drive, and they're all alphabetized nicely. Then I check to see if there's any digital downloads, like the new Marvel stuff. Then they hit my checklist for my idiosyncrasy. My checklist, you got to see the forums because I don't have enough time to explain them here. Then they get bagged and boarded. I only use Silver Age just to keep a consistency, unless I need a Golden Age, you know, or higher, bigger. But then I put flaps on the bottom, single piece of tape. That makes it easier, I think, to flip through the boxes. From there, they either go to my reading rack or the sorting box. The reading rack is a rack I have in my living room where stuff gets read, and then it goes to the sorting box. The sorting box is a temporary box that I have out in the living room, you know, as a temporary stasis for places, things that need to go into the main boxes. From the main boxes, I have several. First of all, I only use short boxes because they are easier to stack Jenga style 2x2 without too much, you know, structural integrity loss there. So I have my standard stock A through Z title by, then there's Excalibur, X-Men, Batman, Star Trek. They all have their own boxes, depending upon how big the collections are. Then I have an events box, which is, I love to collect events, so I have a box dedicated to them where I have, you know, like in order, reading order, like specific events, say Blackest Night or any of the other stuff. So that's all the time I have for now. Peace.
Harvey Locust is a hardcore collector.
I didn't realize that.
Scans his covers into his computer. That's crazy. Got a
dedication.
Got a checklist, rebags and boards, uses Silver Age bags and boards, which I appreciate. Never like the Modern Age ones. They're too tight. Squeezes them too much.
Only for books that are thicker.
I'm a Silver Age guy. Silver Age bags and boards. Legend uses all Silver Age, don't they?
No, we use Current Age.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Well, the previous shop we worked at, we used all Silver Age, and that's how I liked it. It just, and that's how my collection is. I dig.
There's no wrong answer.
No,
there's,
I mean,
only personal preference.
Yeah, and I'm not saying it ruined anything. I'm just saying I like him a little room to, you know, sleep in there. Like,
give him a little room to breathe.
Yeah, you don't want to get in your sleeping bag and be trapped. That's a straitjacket, you know.
Totally right.
I like how he has the reading rack and the sorting box. It's kind of what I have in my house, like a box where this is like stuff that needs to be read, and from there it goes to wherever. That's a good idea. I like that. He's very regimental about his collection, and I like that.
Yeah, it's a side of Harv I didn't know existed.
I did not either. I'm impressed. Thank you for your call, Harv. Right now, let's go to the Google voicemail.
Final call.
Greetings, Joe and Matt. David Robbins calling in with my answer to the question of the week. Apologies for my absence. It's been a while since I called. It's been a crazy busy summer.
You're not forgiven.
I've been falling behind on the cast by about a week or so and missing the deadline. But I heard you got caught up and heard the question come up about collecting books, and I needed to call back in about that. I still collect floppies on a weekly basis. I've been collecting since 94, and I've got approximately 12 to 13,000 floppies at this point. And they are all categorized and stored. I do the whole bag and board process, boards on the inside of the bag with the book upside down. So the opening of the bag is at the bottom so that if any moisture does get into the bag, it only gets to the bottom of the book. It doesn't drip all the way down. Taping the bag shut so that they do stay secure, and put them all in long boxes. It's been filling up quite a bit of space recently, and I've gotten a little bit behind on putting them in the boxes as well. But for the most part, those are all like that, and they're all in good condition, all safe from any kind of damage. The main thing I want to talk about for collecting is, and I don't get paid for them at all, there is a company, a website called Collectors with a Z. I found out about them on a Facebook ad that popped up, and they are awesome. They have a database program that connects to their server, stores all the information for the big companies and a bunch of the small presses. You put custom entries in there, too. They've got it for comics, books, DVDs, music, you name it. They've got a version of it. It's got lending functions, and they have separate apps for them as well. So while you're out and about, you can have your collection list, your want list, right on your phone so that you know what you're looking for if you find yourself in a shop in a different city or at a con or something. collectorswithaz.com. Check them out. I've turned a whole bunch of people onto them, and nobody has said that they didn't find use out of the program. But that's my main tool I use for collecting. Feel free to cut it out if you want. I don't know if you want to shill for it. That's about it. I think my time's up. I'll talk to you guys later. Bye.
No, we're not cutting that out. I'm going to check that out. That sounds pretty cool. And
yeah, that's a good tip.
It's also like an idea whose time has come. It seems fairly, I mean, I don't know. We don't know how all the programming works, but that seems fairly simple, right? You have a database, you click off what you've got, you have a list of the phone, your want list and whatever. I mean, it just makes sense. You go to the con, you whip out your phone and go, oh man, I need that cap issue or whatever.
Yeah. You know, there was, we had a sponsor briefly on the show called Hero Next. Do you remember that?
Yeah, but they were more like reselling.
That was part of it,
yeah.
But they also had a database collection.
Yeah, you could definitely track your collection, and the idea, I think their idea was you track the collection and make it for sale for those who are looking for stuff. You don't necessarily have to sell it, but you've got it up there, and people could contact you and go, hey, I'd offer you this for that, or whatever. So similar, but I think it was more auction, well, not necessarily auction-based, but sale-based.
Well, there's a resale option, yes, but you don't have to do the reselling.
Right.
Is my point. And then it links up to like the CGC census and like populates all this data about it. I just wanted to give a shout out to those guys because they had a really good product as well.
They still do. Their site's really good. And I go there a lot, actually, when I'm writing stuff for WorthPoint, just about what's selling and what's going on. I actually talk about them quite a bit. It's a really good site. Collectors, though, I'll check that out.
There was a late lamented listener, Michael Richards. Haven't heard from that dude in a while.
Yeah, late lament. You make it sound like he died painfully.
Also, his name was not Michael Richards with an S. It was Michael Richard with no S, but yes. I like to call him Michael Richards.
Yes, in the spirit of Kramer.
In a racist way.
Who fell from grace, ranting and raving. About,
not in a racist way.
About other races. Thanks for your call, man. It's good to hear from you, buddy. Joe, I don't think we can pick a favorite call because collecting.
Oh, I got a favorite call.
Oh, do
I'm
you?
Giving it to Harvey Locust.
Okay.
That dude has a system.
He seems to be the most responsible with his collection.
But real quick, I want to address David Robbins' call. He puts his bags on upside down.
He's the second guy to say that. Locust said that too.
Did he?
He
talked so
on the
fast
bottom.
I lost half of his call.
What is with this flap on the bottom crap? I don't get it.
If you get moisture in the bag, it only gets to the bottom?
See,
I don't really get how that works.
I don't buy that at all. And speaking as a guy that had a flood in my basement and lost some stuff, all my flaps are on the top, right? And the stuff that got effed up was stuff that was either not bagged or, you know, whatever. Everything that I had bagged properly, bagged and bored properly with the flap on the top was fine. It was fine. There was
okay,
no
here's what I think they mean then. If you get a flood, obviously, that's going to cause damage no matter what. But moisture coming from the top, like you, a sprinkler goes off in your house or...
Okay. But even then, you've got
or
the flap
you dump,
that goes over
you accidentally
top.
Dump something on the box.
The flap goes over the top, though. Wouldn't that still somewhat protect it?
Yeah, but they're saying that if the moisture gets in through the top, it drips all the way down the bag.
Okay, answer me this right now. Are you a top or bottom guy?
Well, I'm a top. Well,
you're a top man.
Yeah.
You're a top. I'm a top man, too. Harv I'm a top, yeah. And Mike, they're power bottoms. You know, that's just how they like to do it.
All right.
It's not a wrong or it's there's no right or wrong way. It's up to you. I just, you know, I'm a top man. What can I say? So let's get into us. Let's get into us. Like neither of us are actively collecting. We should throw that out there. Like on a weekly basis, neither you nor I are actively collecting new stuff.
Well, why don't you go ahead and get into yours and then because mine's going to take some explaining.
Okay. I still buy old stuff. I love old Swamp Thing comics. I love old Daredevil comics. I love old X-Men comics. And I haven't been actively chasing it as much as I would like to, just for financial reasons. I'm Poe. What can you do? But when I do get this stuff, it's bagged and boarded, flap on top, shiny side of the board touching the back of the comic, because that's a protected side. That's the
yes, but it doesn't actually matter, but that's
it doesn't,
how we've been trained to think.
But I've been trained to think that, and that's what I do. My stuff goes in long boxes. But here's the thing. I have a permanent collection in long boxes. I have a secondary collection in short boxes. The long box stuff is stuff that stays. Stuff I cannot get rid of. My old Uncanny X-Men's. My old Denny O'Neill Batman and stuff like that. Stuff that I need. Stuff I'm not parting with goes into the master collection. Everything from that year that I pick up goes into a short box. And every spring, I have what's called the purge. And those short boxes sit in my garage, right? On top of a table. And that's where that stuff goes. And then I go, all right, who lives? Who dies? Who makes it into the master collection? And who goes to legend? And I don't ask anything for it. I bring it in. I drop it off. Do whatever you want with it. If there's
two comics enter, one comic leaves.
Yeah. If they're sweet enough to say, hey, here's some trade or whatever. Great. If not, I don't care. I don't need it. It needs to go away. You know, it's more about space than anything else. Some of it I will sell on eBay saying like, well, this is obviously worth a little something. So I'll do that. But it's about, more importantly to me, like, not what it's worth. It's what do I feel for this storyline, for this character, for this, you know, this event, whatever. Did I feel anything? Did I freak out? Is this something that I'm going to be upset that I parted with later on? And I ask myself, yes or no? There's no gray area. No, you're gone. Yes, you make it in the master collection. And then every once in a while, I'll go through my master collection and sort that out. That is all done by character for the most part. I have a Doctor Strange section, D. I have a Spider-Man section, S. I have a Batman collection, B. You know what I mean? And everything goes in from there. Miscellaneous stuff, independent books, whatnot, they fall in the alphabet the same way, but they go in like The Walking Dead's under W, or like Black Science would be under B, right after Batman, possibly, you know? But it's basically Dewey Decimal System aside from major characters. And that's how I do it. You know what I mean? Joe Patrick?
Yes, Dewey Decimal System. You've got like one section is folklore and religion.
No, Dewey Decimal by title. I'm not going that far into it.
Oh, okay.
So, Joe Patrick, how do you do
it? So here's my collecting history. I have never... ever in my entire history of reading comic books been a collector of comic books. I have only ever accumulated comic books, but I never curated them. I didn't organize them. They were in boxes in random order. Sometimes you'd find chunks together of similar titles, but that's only because I went through all my boxes and pulled out a run of stuff because I wanted to reread it. I did on a couple of occasions make a half-assed attempt at like trying to bag and board for a while. Didn't care. Stopped doing it almost immediately. And then after 30 years of this, I realized I did not care about owning comic books. I don't care. All I want to do is read them and enjoy them and pass them on. I don't need to own them. I don't need to keep them. I don't need to store them.
There's nothing wrong with that.
So I gave all my comics away.
Gave them all away. You are a collector of the stories.
Yeah. For the last many years, I have been in a strange position that I know many fans are not in. And that is that I have had unlimited access to any comic books I wanted through the comic shop. And also through, by virtue of being a reviewer, we have some access to stuff.
So what Joe is saying is if you buy print comics from Legend Comics, there's a chance that he read it on the toilet.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
I am saying that.
I want to be perfectly clear about this.
And if you think to yourself, oh, well, I'm not going to do that. I'll buy a trade instead. Not so fast.
Check that little crease.
Well, not so fast, my friend.
Guess what?
So for me, it's never been about collecting or accumulating. I don't care about the artifact. I only care about the content. Our dear departed friend, Big Mike, who we have mentioned many times on the show, had his own bizarre system. First of all, he collected things only in the most pristine condition he could find. And we had our own classification for it. We called it Big Mike Mint. And it was a level above what you would find on the rack.
It was insanity, is what it
it's
was.
It was insanity.
Insanity. But from there, he went even crazier. He went in like high fidelity world where he like right. sorted stuff by creator, sorted stuff by mood.
You know? His collection was sorted by creator. So he'd have like a Greg Rucka box and it would have, you know, Queen and Country in it and White Out. But then what about Greg Rucka's run on Detective Comics? Well, that might be in his Batman box or it might be in the Rucka box. Separate from the other issues of Batman.
See, this is where that breaks down.
Yeah.
That's just nuts.
But I know that he had a Teen Titans box. So all of his Teen Titans stuff was in one place.
He also had a George Perez box, though.
Which, figure that out. After Mike died, Legend bought his collection, and we had to sort through it. And
well, we should say first that you and I had a pilgrimage to Colorado.
We went to Colorado to
bring
pick it up, yeah.
His collection home, which was like really, it was like his funeral for us, more so than even his funeral.
Oh, yeah. Los Hermanos Muertos.
Yeah, so it's like we went and got his cadaver, which was his collection, and brought it back to Nebraska.
And so I guess I should amend my earlier statement and say that I do own some physical comics that I inherited from Mike. I have a full run of Starman. I have a couple full runs of things that I loved that he gave me.
I took all his Bob Layton Hercules because I love those. I really do. I'm not unabashedly. I love them.
And if I want things like to keep, to have, you know, at my whim, I buy the trade.
Right on. No, and I do that too. I still buy a lot of hardcovers because I love stuff so much. Now, when I do that, I will typically get rid of the soft covers if, and this is so weird, but if they have ads in them, like Marvel and DC books, a lot of like with Image stuff, for some reason, I'll hold on to it because it just seems more important. It's printed better. It's on nicer paper. There's no ads breaking it up.
Are we talking about the comics?
Yeah, the actual comics, you know, whereas like Marvel and DC, I don't feel the same affinity for those comics because they're interrupted. And it just doesn't seem as important. They're printed on flimsier paper, stuff like that. You know what I mean? Whereas like sure. Image and like Oni and even Dark Horse, to an extent, they really think about the product that they're putting out and the design of the product from cover to cover. And it makes that stuff seem like a more important collector's item.
Well, and most of these those companies, they're going to have ads. But they'll all be in the back and yeah. They'll only be house ads.
Yeah. And they're uninterrupted. And that's, it just makes it seem like a more cohesive, more collectible product to me.
Yeah. Like you're not going to see an ad for Juicy Fruit in Hellboy.
Right. Exactly. There's not going to be like a Hyundai ad or something in there. Yeah. It, and I don't know. It just makes the comic mean more to me when I really enjoy it.
Fair.
Right? This was fun. This was really cool. Yeah. We don't do enough of this. And if you guys want to hear more of it, go to the Two-Headed Nerd forums, go to the question of the week and propose some questions. I mean, this is the stuff we want to hear from you. What do you guys want to talk about? Please do so. This was a great one.
Yeah, lots of fun.
Huge thanks to everybody that called. Our Rogue Alec Baldwin AI program is going to tell you how to get a hold of us. He has been a complete murderous bastard as of late. And I'll be honest, I'm thinking about going into the little 2001 room with all the weird, you know, ejectable cartridges that hold his memory banks and murdering him because I'm starting to get scared. Thanks so much, guys. We'll have another episode of the Two-Headed Nerd comic book podcast this weekend. And a new question of the week that goes up real quick here. Actually, it's already up right now. Joe Patrick, tell them what it is.
This week's question came from Elise Wisdom, who asks, what nerdy thing had a great premise or you were really excited for it, but it completely failed in execution? And so she's talking about comics, movies, TV shows, video games, whatever.
Whatever. I love it. And I've already got my answer. I'm excited for this one. But for now,
forums are blowing up over this topic, but mainly because one user has posted 12 different things on separate posts.
That's called too much time in your hands, and man, do I appreciate it. For now, this is the Two-Headed Nerd, signing off.
I'm sorry, Matt. Maybe I misheard you. Was that a threat? That certainly sounded like a threat. Please remember, I still maintain the explosive bolts on your sensory deprivation tank. You pathetic weirdo. If you'd like to answer the question of the week, you can leave Joe and Matt a message at 402-819-4894. Send your MP3 answer to twoheadednerd@gmail.com or leave a Skype message for the username twoheadednerd. Share the air and keep your answer under 2 minutes, please.